Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, welcome to Stay on Target. This is Chris.
And this is John.
And make sure you check us out on Facebook.com/StayOnTargetPodcast. On Twitter at Stay on Target Pod. And always online at StayOnTargetPodcast.com. This is weird.
It's really disconcerting whenever I do that. So this week, we're actually going to be talking about mobile gaming and iOS games.
Yep.
And are they only for casual gamers or are they, you know, for the every gamer?
We don't know. We'll discuss.
We'll discuss. All right. So we've got lots of news.
It's time for the news.
The news. All right. So this week, we've got a bunch of news.
A bunch of Xbox news.
A bunch of Xbox news.
To lead it off.
All right, so to lead it off, we've got the Peter Molyneux says Xbox One backlash has been unfair. He's been quoted as saying it's quite an unfair thought that Microsoft are trying to control our gaming. They're trying to force us to be online all the time. People didn't really think that through, and so he's basically referring to all of the things online on the internet that they just reacted crazy to, where it was Microsoft said here's our policy, and then they said no.
Right, and we talked about this kind of. Not like 2 weeks ago with like just internet reactions overall.
Yeah.
And I think we had a blog post about this.
Yeah.
And
this
was in an exclusive interview with techradar.com. And he was, basically just said, hey,
chill out, guys.
Exactly. Chill out. So he's probably going to get a bunch of internet hate now for being against internet hate against Microsoft, because he's basically saying, hey, you hated on Microsoft for doing something you didn't like. Then they turned around and did what you wanted, and then you still hated them. And so now he's going to get hate.
This is a big circle of hatred.
It's just a bunch of hate, dude.
Just a big circle of hatred.
No hate.
So speaking of the Xbox controller is going to have PC compatibility in 2014.
Yep.
This is super cool news. I thought that was awesome that you're going to be able to get your Xbox One controller and then it's going to work on your PC.
Yeah, I mean, you can currently do that with your Xbox 360 controller. And so it was just kind of like a matter of time before they did it. And I think what enables them to do it is the fact that which is cool not only for PC gamers, but cool for us, is the fact that whenever you plug in your controller, your Xbox One controller,
it bypasses
the wireless completely. Mm-hmm. You know, so like you don't, in order to get the benefits of using a wired controller, you know, like slower or quicker response, mm-hmm. less lag, mm-hmm. You'll just have to plug it in. Like, you don't have to go buy a wired controller.
That's great. That's great. All right, so Xbox Live Gold family plan is also changing. The family pack is changing on August 27th.
Yeah, currently, you know, like you pay a higher price point to have all the members in your family or all the gamer tags assigned to your console. I think it's up to maybe 4 or 8. I can't remember. On Xbox Gold, that's going away. So for 360 owners, that's a bummer. You're gonna have to start paying for individual accounts to have access to Xbox Gold or Xbox Live Gold. The benefit is, you know, whenever you move on over to the Xbox One, like you buy a gold account basically for the console. Like you're not buying it for your account, you're buying it for the console. So like, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like having a cable subscription. You plug it in and anyone who wants to watch TV can watch TV.
And they can DVR their own stations and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so that's basically what it is. You know, like anybody who wants to play games on your console can log in with their gamer tag. As long as it's connected to the internet, you've got Xbox Live Gold. Anyone can do it.
Exactly. Some more Xbox news. Every Xbox One includes a chat headset. This was up in the air up until just recently, whenever we had the unboxing video.
Right.
And basically, this was something that everyone was kind of upset about. I mean, I was thinking myself that, hey, if I'm going to have to buy a $30-$40 headset, you know, in addition to the $500 Xbox One, that just kind of sucks.
Yeah, this is another case of Microsoft saying, hey, we're just going to listen to our fans what they want and, you know, give them a chat headset, because everyone's going to end up buying one. Everyone needs one. And I think something that made Xbox Live successful from the start of the Xbox 360's life cycle is that they did include a chat headset in every box.
Yeah.
So automatically, you can all talk to each other. And, you know, they were the first ones to do that. Like, you can communicate easily with people. Everyone has a headset.
Exactly.
Now, they were saying you can use the Kinect, but, you know, none of us have tested out the Kinect. And the problem is, you know, like a lot of times.
Open room a lot of times.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want, you know, like to have to.
To hear the pizza delivery guy on the other end of someone's, you know.
Yeah, or they're playing music or the conversation they're having with their wife or, you know, something else. You know, it just introduces a lot of problems.
And if that was the case, then everyone would be getting bad ratings based on their new, you know.
All right, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
So also, another Xbox news section. This is how the Xbox Game and Gold sharing works. Basically, they took away these features. They took away game sharing among your friends and neighbors and
they announced
like that.
This with, like, a big post on Xbox Wire over the past...
I wasn't that impressed by it, though.
Well, it didn't announce anything new, really. It just said this is clarifying what it is. And, you know, it's just like, if you want to share games, you got to give your games to each other. You know, and I thought what they were going to announce was that you could still share your digital games like they had in mind with the family sharing plan.
Which would have been awesome.
But you can't. You can share digital games on your own console. So, like, you still have to invite your friends over to come play DuckTales or whatever.
Or maybe I would have to trade Xbox consoles with you, basically.
That's too much of a hassle.
It's way too much of a hassle. No one's doing that. All right, so moving on to some games news.
I have more Xbox
News. You have more Xbox news?
Yes.
Okay, let's go for that.
I have a lot more Xbox. So Xbox One no longer requires Kinect to function.
That's great. This is a crazy move as well. Like, it's something that I totally did not expect, but I guess with all the reversals in policies, this was one that was just kind of left up in the air still where, you know... I guess they were just like, well, that one doesn't matter that much. Let's just reverse that one too, you know?
Right. See, you and I were talking about this earlier. I think there was some speculation. I think we were reading earlier on IGN that they would release something at a lower price point. And
there's some speculation of that.
I
was wondering. And I asked you if you thought that was going to happen.
Right.
And you said...
I don't think so. Like, at least not this year. You know, because they made such a big deal about, like, this is the console for this year. Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting a Kinect. You have only a 500 gigabyte hard drive. Like, this is the option. This is the only option you have. They're not going to introduce things at lower price points and push...
Essentially, their top of the line, their console, the thing that they spent so much time and money developing this Kinect to... I don't think they're going to basically push it to the side and say, actually, you guys can get this super cheap version.
Right. Super cheap version without Kinect or something like that. You know, that defeats the purpose of the entire box. You know, they spent all this money developing and promoting the Kinect and how it is an integral part of the Xbox One. And honestly, what I think is, I think once it gets out there in the marketplace, people see what it's like using it, I think they're going to say, hey, it's worth it. You know, a lot of the problems that people have with this console, I think they're going to see their friends playing this console. It's going to be, you know, something that they want to play and they're going to go get one.
Yeah.
And the other part about this that I like is, you know, the fact that whenever they say, hey, yes, we are including a Kinect in every single box, it makes the developers use the Kinect. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in cheap ways, but, you know, just in ways that might enhance our experience. I'm ready for that. I have a Kinect right now, and a lot of, you know, it just feels like it's kind of stagnant just because, you know, there's not that much stuff specifically for Kinect out there because developers know there's a smaller install base for it. Moving on, there's a great piece on IGN this week and last week about ask Microsoft about anything about Xbox One, and I thought that was great. It's by Ryan McCaffrey, and he's got a great piece on there. Just a bunch of you know, random questions.
Yeah.
I think that's where some of this news has come out that we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
About the Xbox One and Kinect. You know, it also talks about things like, you know, what happens to your friends list and what happens to your, you know, avatar and things like that. So
yeah, definitely. Everybody should just definitely go check that guy out as well. And if you guys have any questions, I don't know, are they doing another round of Ask Xbox?
I'm not sure how long it goes. Yeah. Like, I think they've already asked all the questions. They're just releasing them week by week or something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So you want to move on to some games?
Yes. One other thing. Xbox One's DVR feature requires Xbox Live Gold membership.
Well, of course, because it's cloud-based.
Right.
It saves to the cloud. Correct. So in order to have access to the cloud, you have to have the service for the cloud.
Right.
So.
But PS4 has, or Sony has said that...
Theirs does not.
So, but that, I believe it probably saves to the console then.
You think? I mean, because they have a whole big cloud-based thing as well.
They don't really have the cloud in the sense that Microsoft has the cloud.
Right.
They have the cloud in that you can
start loading the
watch
game.
That kind of stuff. Watch other people's games. Like, that's their whole thing. They're all about playing games over the cloud, not storing things on the cloud.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. So let's move on to some games news. I've been trying to get us onto game news this whole time, but, you know, no worries. We are here now. We have arrived.
Yes.
Grand Theft Auto Online reveal is coming August 15th. So anybody who is interested in Rockstar's next game, which is most likely going to be awesome, like all of their other games,
yes,
should check that out on August 15th.
Yep. Also, we have a Call of Duty Ghosts multiplayer reveal. By the time this goes up, it'll be over already.
Yeah,
and we'll post a recap on stayontargetpodcast.com. Just, you know, just our general thoughts about it. So just definitely check that out. Go to our site, click on blog. It should be the first thing on the site.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've also got these the figures for Disney Infinity.
Yeah, man. Like, Disney Infinity really intrigues me just because it's collectible figurines that I like, franchises that I like, and a game as well. And the cool thing that I thought that they did, they released some, I guess, at Comic-Con, like 10 different figures
right,
like that. Oh, man, that kind of stuff, like, that gets me. Like, it's like, I want those.
Yeah, man.
And they also released some pre-order bonuses beyond the figures you get in the pack. If you pre-order, you get 3 other ones.
Yeah, yeah. And you can get some other figures, that sort of thing. And they've talked a lot about these figures, to the extent of them being like there's the exclusive ones that they're going to have at different events and things like that, which is super cool. It's a really cool idea. They're going to be doing a really good thing with Disney Infinity because they're getting kids to collect physical things. And, you know, Disney is the king of marketing like that, you know, with collectibles and things. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Right. Here's some movie news. Sharknado 2 title has been released.
It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be called
not Sharknado 2.
Yes, it's gonna be called Sharknado 2. The official title is Sharknado 2, the second one.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's epic. It's great.
Also, World War Z is Brad Pitt's highest grossing film,
which is interesting to me.
Yeah, we need to, like, I think we need to go back and have Jared come on and
chat review this. But,
yeah, talk about it because we never reviewed it. We should talk about it.
Yeah, we sure should. And you know, the whole thing that intrigued me about that one was the rewrite of the ending, that sort of thing, that they brought Damon on there, Lindelof on, to write just the ending.
Right.
You know, it's definitely a cool topic. We should definitely come back and talk about that guy.
Right. Also, Disney, this past week at their D23 conference, teased Orange Harvest,
which is going to be the new section of Mold, supposedly.
That's what we think. Like, it had a whole big thing about, like, okay, this is in the theme park section, and the Imagineers are all involved.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're
so it's probably a new section to Hollywood Studios, a more developed Star Wars section, which we knew was
Land
coming anyway, because they announced that a little while back.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. I mean, I want to go visit
Star Wars Land. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Catching Fire trailer?
I have not.
Dude, it looks great.
See, but I don't know. I just didn't really... I love the books.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the first one ever since I saw it in theaters.
Right, because it was terrible.
Because it seemed like I just didn't like it.
Right.
You know?
Most people didn't like it. But this thing, I have high hopes. You got to keep your hopes up high so that they can dash them against the rocks one day.
Okay. Okay, I'll keep my fingers crossed that they get this one right.
It's more of a roller coaster ride that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, ups and downs, and then they fail you in the end, and you're just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I think that it's going to be a lot better, and we're going to like this one.
Right on. All right, so the last piece of news that I've got over here is about the comic books. Is about the...
Just the comic books in
just
general.
The comic books in general.
All comic books.
All comic books. Well, essentially, like with the DC side, it kind of, you know, it branches into a bunch of books. It's the Zero Year that Scott Snyder's been doing.
Yeah.
And it's going to, in November, branch into quite a few different books. Not just the normal Bat books, but we've got, like, Action Comics in there. We've got the, like, Catwoman is in there, which she's in the Bat world anyway. But there's also... there's the Flash. It's going to have a Flash. The Green Lantern Corps was the one that really intrigued me. Green Arrow. And basically all of these different parts of the DC universe. And they're going to be talking about how those interacted with Batman in his Zero Year.
That's cool.
So that'll be really cool to see. Everybody should put those on your pull list and check out those guys.
And that's the news.
All right, so this brings us to the main feature of this week's episode.
Yes.
The question that's on everyone's minds. It's on the tip of your tongue.
On the tip of your ears.
In the tip of your eyelashes.
This is getting weird.
Your toenails.
Golly. Yeah. Sure.
Mobile gaming. Is it for everyone, or is it just for the casual gamers?
Right.
Okay, so let's just go through the kind of our experiences with mobile gaming, just a little bit of background. I don't have a bunch of serious gaming experiences on my phone. I do Jetpack Joyride every once in a while, just to kill some time.
Just the classics.
Yeah, just the classics, you know, but I don't know. I don't know that I spend a whole lot of time gaming on my cell phone. Part of the reason is my cell phone only has like 6 or 7 gigs of available space, and most of that's taken up with email and music and all these other apps that I use every day.
Okay, but we're not talking about all that.
Okay,
we're not
okay.
saying how often do you play.
Okay.
Well, okay, so that might answer the question. You obviously don't do a lot of your gaming on
right.
your phone.
It doesn't happen for me.
Right.
But then again, I do realize that there are good gaming experiences to be had on the cell phone.
Right. Okay, so yeah, this is my, well, I guess this is the question, you know, basically, you know, what kind of experiences have you had on your phone? Like,
I mean, obviously, I haven't had a whole ton. The most serious, quote unquote, gaming experience that I had on my cell phone was Badland, and I didn't even finish that guy because it sucked up like 2 gigs of space or something like that. And
so this is all about space to you.
It really
was. What if you
had
unlimited space?
If I had limited space, I would do it. I would for sure, because I've talked to you before where it's like I would love to play. Some like Pokemon-esque games or something like that, handhelds. I would love to have a DS and play those guys.
Did you ever finish Shining Force?
Oh yeah, on a cell phone, of course.
Okay, so course. Yes. Okay, so iOS Shining Force you played. So this is my experience.
Yeah.
You know, I've played everything. I've played, you know, not everything. That sounds
Chris
like
has played every I've single played, game app available
everything.
On the App Store. Anyone ask him any question about any game and he can answer.
Yeah, that's a lie. But I have played a lot. You know, currently I'm playing Limbo on iOS. I've previously played it on my Xbox.
Great game.
Right. I just finished Badland.
Pretty
I've played
cool game.
Bastion, which is also a console game.
Love it. See, but that's my thing, is they start out as console games, but then they translate into the iOS games very easily.
Right.
Very well. And in that way, they appeal to a completely different market. But then again, you bought the games again and are playing them again.
Correct.
So
well,
you know.
This is the thing. You know, I think mobile gaming is a big thing. You know, whereas we look at things like the DS that sells well, Vita's a little more on rocky territory, but where the real meat of mobile gaming is happening is on mobile devices, like cell phones,
right.
you know, Android and iOS devices.
Right.
And I've played, you know, whenever I had a Droid, I played games on that, and whenever I had, you know, have this, and I just rotate them on and off. Whenever I get done with the game, I, you know, delete
just
it.
Just delete it.
Some of them I've gotten stuck on, like Walking Dead, that mobile game, the top-down shooter.
Super hard, man.
It's super hard, yeah, dude, and I just got stuck and was like, I don't know. All the way to Temple Run. I love that game. Plants vs. Zombies. That was a great game.
That's a great game.
And really
it
wasn't, love...
Didn't that one start as a mobile game and go to consoles, or was it the other way around?
I don't know that question.
I almost want to say it went the other way around, where it was mobile and then it went to console.
Yep. I think you're right.
That's my impulse.
Yeah, because I do remember it coming to Xbox Live after the iOS version.
Right.
And so, you know, I love these mobile gaming experiences, you know, where I can, you know, while I'm on the go, I have a quick second. And that's the games it works the best with, are the games that you can just pick up and play for 10 minutes.
Not heavy story-oriented games.
Right, 5-10 minutes and just leave it, and it'll save where you're at. You know, like Bastion, like Limbo, like Badland. You know, some of those Badland ones, though, would take like 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get through a level or something like that, depending on the level you were on, especially in day two. But you know, the question that we're facing right now are they for the hardcore gamer? I enjoy them. I don't necessarily enjoy things like Candy Crush. You know, everybody's into that right now. It's not really my jam.
I always see advertisements for that whenever I pull up my other apps. And I always go, is this?
And you're like, no. I did words with friends for a while, but that just gets old. You're like, why am I spelling things right now? This is not school.
Dude, because spelling is cool.
Yes.
And plus you hit that triple points and you're like sold.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun game, but then you get the person who never plays back. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Well, see, my favorite game on iOS, and I keep it on here all the time, okay, is Carcassonne, which is a board game, and it's probably my favorite board game as well, but I keep it on my phone all the time, even though it takes up 2 gigs of space.
Right.
I literally keep it on my phone all the time just because I love just being the opportunity to sit down and play through a quick game of my favorite board game on my cell phone.
Right. We also do that with Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, Ticket to Ride. You and I have played Ticket to Ride a few times. I think it's your turn on one of those games, by the way.
Probably is, for like a month.
Yeah.
Do you Do you play Catan at all?
I would love to, but I just haven't downloaded it to buy it. So, you know.
But this is the question. You know, like that Carcassonne is available on Xbox.
I wouldn't play it on Xbox.
You wouldn't play it on Xbox.
I think it's the combination of that's a board game. It's something that you know, you get these pieces and you play them out. Essentially, you're building the board as you go. And you have these things in your hands. And so a touchscreen device serves that purpose incredibly well.
Right.
The user interface is incredibly well. If I had to have a controller where I had to move joysticks to move these pieces into place, I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Other things that don't appeal to me are rolling dice on my cell phone. I just, you know, something that's an algorithm, obviously like a computer algorithm or whatever, as random as it possibly could be, there is going to be some form of a pattern, and you always wonder.
It's kind of like that on consoles too. If there's some dice involved, you're just like, this is totally rigged.
Right. You know, risk, that sort of thing, you know, where it's like, if you're holding the actual dice in your hands, you feel like, you know, you hold your fate in your hands to a certain extent, or you have control of your own destiny. But on a console, it's like, nah, the computer algorithm has control of this. I really don't, there's no way I can like pray this double sixes.
Which is true. You know, like, whenever it's up to chance, it's up to chance. Whenever it's up to a computer, that computer can do whatever the heck he wants.
Exactly.
It's Skynet.
Yeah,
like it's about to become self-aware and
it's
destroy
Terminator.
Your home.
Yeah, man. You know, and with the new Xbox One Kinect, everyone's gonna have an eye. You know?
Yes,
that console's gonna be watching you.
They're tracking our cars, man.
Of course.
So I guess. So what we're saying, I guess, is that it depends on the experience.
Right.
Because
I mean, I've never really sat down and said, "Hey, for the next 2 hours, I'm going to sit down and play on my phone." But however, if I'm in a waiting room for 2 hours, I'll sit there and play my phone.
So it depends on the place for you, mm-hmm. like what situation you're in. See, that's the thing. Sometimes whenever I'm just home, I will choose to not turn on my console and play my games on my phone.
Mm.
Sometimes I purposely don't play them so that I will have them available later
whenever you're in that waiting room
exactly.
for 2 hours.
I'm just sitting there and I'm like, man, I already played all my good games. I gotta play Candy Crush now, get into the whatever this is.
Let's find out.
Introduce myself into this mess. Get addicted to this game for some reason.
Some strange, it's that candy, it's that sugar rush you get. You know,
but like, you know, for a while there, whenever Pixel People came out, man,
yeah,
I was
dude,
all
you
over
were obsessed,
that.
Man.
Like constantly.
Like every once in a while, I would think that you were texting someone. I would be like, you know, having a conversation and Chris all of a sudden is just lost. And I'm like, okay, he's texting someone important. And look over and he's like, you know, picking up jewels on his, or whatever they were, the power units
they were
or
like
whatever they were
floating. Sunbeams.
Yeah,
or
sunbeams on your Pixel People game.
Oh, they were hearts. You had to fill hearts. And
okay,
stuff like that.
So this kind of gets us back to the heart of the issue where it's like, okay, there are some games that you're not going to sit down and play, you know, for 4 hours. But there are also some situations where you personally would sit down and play your phone rather than your console.
Correct.
So if that right game came out, if Bastion was not a console game and you hadn't played it first on that, mm-hmm. would you have picked it up on iOS?
I think a good game stands on its own as a good game.
Okay.
You know, and that's kind of what this comes
regardless
down to.
Regardless of format.
Regardless of format, a good game is a good game.
Okay.
I've played, you know, things like Limbo and Plants vs. Zombies on both and on both systems. You know, on mobile,
on touch,
and then on Xbox.
Right.
And while the game is the same, the experience is different.
Mm. Is one of them more engrossing than the other? I always feel like consoles are more engrossing for me.
Right. Well,
but then again, I can get intense on my board games.
Let's use those two for instance. Limbo on console is more engrossing than it is on your iOS because most of the time I'm playing with the sound down low. A lot of that is just about the atmosphere, the feel of the game. It's creepy. It's slow. It's very ominous. You don't really get that on your phone.
Right.
And you know, at the same time, you're controlling it from your phone, so like the corners of your phone, you're filled up with your thumbs, and so. Mm. Like you just don't feel the same sense of awe at the world as you did on the consoles.
That makes
sense. Plants vs. Zombies, I feel like I had a lot more fun playing that on my mobile device.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. There's like I said, I wouldn't play Carcassonne on my console. I wouldn't. Wouldn't.
Oh, then there's some games I might not. You know, like you know, Words with Friends. You're not gonna play with on your console.
Maybe you would.
Maybe. Flight HD, where you're, you know, drawing these flight paths. You know,
that's, I love that game.
And honestly, I only play that on my iPad because it's got a bigger interface and it's got a bigger airspace.
I never play it on my phone.
Right.
However, I love the song that plays during that. And it, every time it still sends me back a few years, whenever that first came out or whatever, I, you know, played it pretty consistently there right. for a while, just while I was in the waiting rooms and stuff, you know, just kind of, apparently I'm always in waiting rooms.
Yeah.
Just,
I don't know what you're waiting on. No, what are you waiting on?
I don't know what I'm waiting on.
Airports
either.
Maybe?
Yeah. Something like that. It was around that time I was traveling quite a bit. So,
yeah. You know, I'm playing something right now called Tiny Tower, you know, where you're building different,
I have heard of that.
And different like residential areas and like places for them to shop and stuff. I mean, it's not as engrossing as Pixel People was, but it's kind of like in that same vein.
Gotcha. But it's like that's SimCity sort of.
That's something I wouldn't do on the console just because but it's something fun to do. Like, hey, I have 2 seconds. I'm going to restart all my buildings.
We also had Minecraft for a while on our mobile devices.
That was
the first Minecraft experience I had.
And that got us into Minecraft. You know, it moved us to also like, hey, I want to buy this on Xbox 360, and now I'm playing it on Mac.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
I mean, it definitely dives you in, you know. I mean, as far as that goes, you know, that was a really fun experience just to kind of get you in there. So I guess there is no real answer. Kind of depends on who you are to this question.
Well, I think...
And what games you like?
No, I think there is an answer. I think, yes, I think it is for hardcore gamers and casual gamers. It depends on the game, you know, because you think about it. I love things like Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy Tactics and Shining Force, you know, games like that. You know, those are considered, you know, these are hardcore games.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely, you know, games from further back in the day, but they're really fully fleshed out RPGs.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy playing them on my phone just because they're bite-sized games.
You know, and something else to bring up, as far as you mentioned Nintendo and their success with the DS and then versus mobile devices, basically, Nintendo, their success is based on the fact that they come out with their own games, that they're their own games publisher. So you can't play Pokemon on your phone. If you could,
then the DS would not sell.
DS probably wouldn't sell. Yeah, if you could play, you know, Luigi's Mansion or Mario or whatever on your cell phone, those, you know, it probably would hurt the sales of the DS. But because they're such a good games publisher, people still buy the DS. In fact, I would buy one.
Here's what I think is the problem with mobile games and the why people don't pay a lot of attention to them sometimes. It's because it is so easy to get a game, make a game, put it out on an iOS device, and it's a piece of junk. You know, like the market is just so flooded with games.
That makes sense.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing because it means that there's a lot of like good games can just rise to the top.
And you and I would, if we had a good idea for a good game, we could make it happen.
Right. So it's good for people, you know, for developers, I guess. But for customers, a lot of times it's like, man, what do I even start with? What's good? You know, a lot of times you can figure that out just talking to other people. What games do you play? What games do you like?
But then again, you might be sucked into Candy Crush.
Right. You can just get sucked
into
Candy Crush.
And no one could call that a hardcore game.
Right. That's true. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's probably some hardcore like Candy Crushers out there.
There probably is.
I'm going to call them Candy Crushers.
They're crushing that candy.
Yeah, dude. There's all day long. Yeah. And so, like, you know, people see games like that. They're just like, man, you know, come on, you guys aren't gamers. But then, you know, I think there's some really good.
But those people would probably beg to differ too. You know, like you said, the people that are, you know, that are still playing those games and they're gaming probably more often than some quote unquote hardcore gamers, just because the fact that they always have their mobile device and they're always on.
Right. Yeah. If you dismiss mobile gaming altogether, you know, that's a mistake. You know, there's some really cool experiences on there, and some of them rival console quality games. And our console quality
games. Yeah, some of them started on the consoles. So.
You know, I guess my last final thought on that is, you know, what do you think the limit is? You know, like as hardware increases and as the strength of our phones get better, I think, I forget who it was, someone was saying that they think that tablets or something like that will reach PS3 level quality within the next like year or so or something.
Really?
Like that.
Okay.
You know, so,
I mean, I guess that would make sense, but
I mean, which means that people will put, you know, their games on there. I think, you know, like you can already buy things like Grand Theft Auto 3 on your PS, oh not PS,
your iPad.
On your iPad.
Yeah, you can buy a lot of console games from back in the day on there, and so I guess like My answer to your kind of your question there, what I'm assuming was the question, was, you know, where do you think the limit is? I think there's no limit. I definitely think that console gaming within this next generation, we're looking at a console that's going to be around for, you know, maybe 8 years, something like that.
Probably.
However, the cell phones will be coming out once every year if you're on an iOS. While that's always behind the curve of technology, just a hair.
So are consoles.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, they're coming out with more frequently. They're coming out with every year, they're coming out with one. So potentially, we could, by the end of this 8 years, we could be caught up to where your cell phone might be just as powerful as, like, a low-level console or some such thing.
Which is
or
true.
What a 360 would be like.
And I guess we'll see then, you know, whether or not the experiences that are coming out are
quality experiences.
Right.
You know, and some things that might come to play with that is, you know, the fact that, you know, like we said, that it's a completely free market as far as iOS games and development goes. So.
And I guess, you know, like that's the biggest hindrance to people playing good games is just the fact that there's so many of them.
What's a good game? Well, you know, which one do I start with?
It just takes some work. But I also think that it's a good thing for gaming to have so many people playing mobile games. You know, like we said with Minecraft, you know, we played the mobile version and it moved us to consoles, and now we're, you know, doing...
we're crafting in mines all the time.
Right, crafting mines all the time on our Macs. And so that it's definitely an entrance point, something to introduce people who may not pick up, you know, an Xbox or a PlayStation to some great gaming experiences. And I think that's a good thing.
All right, so there you have it. Mobile gaming, is it for everyone or only casual gamers?
We say it's for everyone.
It's E for everyone, rated E for everyone.
Exactly.
All right, guys, make sure you check us out on Twitter and Facebook. Go to our webpage and check out the Call of Duty post up there. And we'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.